Welcome to the Best Science Medicine Podcast, BS without the BS.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the 529th episode of the Best Science Medicine Podcast. My name is James McCormack, and I'm a professor with the Faculty of Pharmaceutical Sciences at the University of British Columbia.
I'm Mike Allen. I'm a family doctor and the director of practice support at the College of Family Physicians of Canada. I'm also an adjunct professor at the University of Alberta, where, if you look hard enough, you can find Mike Kolber. Mike.
Well, you got to look really hard through this snowstorm, and it's pretty cold, so your goggles, your glasses might fog up today. So,
given that it's an audio podcast, you really have to look.
Thanks, fellas. Mike Kolber here, Peace River, rural northern Alberta, and professor at the University of Alberta, and proud member of the peer team, and happy to be part of the podcast today.
So, anyway, we're in the emergency. And we're going to talk about a topic, and I'm not even going to pronounce the name because I don't use this. I've never used this medication in the history of my career. But Mike, you're going to talk about a treatment that we give to people who have had trauma in general.
Yeah, James, trauma in general. So tranexamic acid, or TXA, we'll call it. And probably those that work in Emerge are familiar with this. And we're going to talk about TXA for trauma, TXA for head injury, and if we have time, we'll talk about TXA for GI bleeding. And I do a bit of GI up in Peace River, so interested in all of these three topics. And so maybe we'll just jump in. Our worst cases in Peace River and Emerge rooms were these big traumas, and these are obviously most times, I shouldn't say obviously, many of them high-speed car, that kind of stuff, and obviously the mortality rate's high. And so we're always looking for something that benefits patients. So again, high quality, ATLS and proper tubes and fluids and blood and all this stuff. And so TXA is a very interesting product that's been around for quite some time. And I'll go through the main trials, the CRASH II trial, which was the first one in 2010, looking at all cause trauma, like trauma patients, and then the CRASH III, which looked at head injury, and then the HALT IT, which looked at GI bleeding.
And just so people know, this is an agent that in theory should reduce your bleeding.
Correct. Again, we don't care how it works. We don't care how it works. We'll just tell you whether it works or doesn't work. But you're right. The theoretical is this will change, should change bleeding, and therefore, if cause of death in many of these traumas is, you bleed out or bleeding, then maybe this would move the needle in these types of patients. Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So we're going to start with a general trauma. This is 20,000. This is a CRASH II paper published in Lancet in 2010. 20,000 patients that have trauma with signs of shock or risk of hemorrhage, presenting in eight hours. And I want you to think about the 8 hours initially. And they looked at these patients. They were allowed to use whatever they used irregular. And so if it was a third world country, they would have probably less things than a first world country, but it was randomized to TXA or placebo. Okay. And so they followed these people forward, and they figured out all cause mortality. And I believe it was about a month at 28 days, all cause mortality in CRASH II was about 14.5% in the TXA group versus 16% in the placebo group. So for a number needed a treat of 67. Interestingly, remember we talked about 8 hours was the initial inclusion. When they did a subgroup analysis, they found only those patients that had treatment within 3 hours had actually a mortality benefit. Those that were treated beyond 3 hours had no difference. And so one of those timing things, which is probably pretty important. Initially with TXA, if you think you're mucking around with a clotting cascade and trying to stop the bleeding, there was questions of VTEs, vascular occlusive events, and in CRASH II, they didn't find any difference, which is reassuring.
Oh, for sure. But man, what a large, like 20,000 people, what a undertaking to be able to do something like this.
Absolutely. Maybe I should just back up and tell you the dose of the TXA for both of these, both the CRASH II and III were similar, was 1 gram over 10 minutes and then 1 gram over 8 hours. Okay. And not surprisingly, most of the patients in these studies were male, 80% were male, and the ages were, with median age was between 35 and 42 years. Make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. So that's CRASH II. And that one's pretty self-explanatory. And we would say, so the conclusion for that is that, all cause, these bigger traumas, all cause mortality, it changes by about 1.5%, you know, number needed to treat about, you know, 60 to 70 and not unreasonable to use. So TXA, you give them 1 gram initially and then 1 gram over 8 hours. Some jurisdictions are actually trying to improve, make it easier in that some people forget the second dose and just trying to give a either pre-filled syringe and just do it at once and just take the thinking out of it. So then Crash 3 came out. And so we're saying, okay, so in Crash 2, 30% of the deaths in Crash 2 were due to brain injuries. Pardon me, 31% had a coexistent head injury. So they wanted to look at traumatic brain injuries, because I don't know about you guys, but boy, taking care of those ones, again, it's like, wow, what are we going to do with these people? So you do your ATLS and all this, and you're kind of stuck. So they wanted to see what would happen with our traumatic brain injury people. So Crash 3 published again in Lancet in 2019, almost 13,000 patients. And so there's a few nuances in here. So initially it was supposed to be patients with GCSs of less than or equal to 12, or intracranial bleeding on CT and no major extracranial bleeding. Because the major extracranial bleeding, they wanted to get rid of those patients because we were probably going to put, you know, we've already answered that question. These patients are already going TXA. So these are head injuries kind of alone without major extracranial bleeding. They changed the time partway through the study to under 3 hours. Remember this, but again, when you look at the timing, it's like, well, they should have known that already from the first study. It should have been 3 hours. Anyways, maybe one of those things where it's like, oh, we've kind of missed that. Anyways, they only presented the outcomes on the patients that presented within 3 hours. And so they lost actually about 28% of the patients from the initial sample size. So about 9,000 patients, TXA, 1 gram and 1 gram within 3 hours with a head injury. All-cause mortality, no difference. Head injury mortality, overall, no difference. But there was some differences when you looked at the severity of the head injury. And I struggle a little bit with this in that some of these subgroup analyses were pre-specified and other ones weren't. That being said, if you excluded those with GCS of 3 or less, and remember, for those that don't remember, a deceased person has a GCS of 3, right? Mm-hmm. So if you exclude the GCS of 3, 12.5% for head injury mortality versus 14% in placebo. Again, that same 1.5% absolute benefit for number needed to treat of 67 again. The in-betweeners, so the GCS of 3 to 8, no difference. And then they looked at GCS 9 to 15. But if the astute reader or listener would say, well, wait a minute, they were only supposed to do GCS of less than or equal to 12. So how did that happen? So obviously they included patients that they initially weren't going to include in the first time. Anyways, they actually did find a head injury mortality benefit. Again, just over 1.5%. Actually, it was 5.8% versus 7.5% with a number needed to treat of 59. Disability scores, no difference. Adverse events, no difference. And I guess what I struggle a bit for is often when we do multiple statistical comparisons, so again, the time changed in here, and then kind of the inclusion and how they broke apart patients changed a little bit. And so I would have loved to have a 3x3 grid to actually see where the strong benefit was. I guess it's probably less than 3 hours of injury. And in certain patients, those that were on the trending on the better side, for lack of a better word. Mm-hmm. And I would have loved statistical correction correction for multiple analyses, which they didn't do.
And it's tricky. I mean, so if you look at all, and if you look at all cause mortality, you know, I don't know if, cause this was a sort of, like you say, a subset analysis. So if all cause mortality is not difference, I don't know if I really care about head injury mortality.
Correct. You know, and I agree. If you're pragmatic about it, you might be pregnant. And again, if you would skip and this head injury mortality, so if all cause mortality was no different, well, then you might want to go to what about disability scores? Well, mm-hmm. There was no difference in there. And some of these other things, how long in hospital and all this stuff, no kind of difference in there. And so I think it depends on who you look at. On the flip side of that, I started the podcast off with what are our worst cases? These are our worst cases. And we're in the middle of nowhere. TXA is, again, I don't want to be special pleading because we want to let the evidence speak for itself. When you're in the middle of nowhere and you have these severely injured people and something that is relatively cheap, I don't, you know, the evidence would say, if you're a peer evidence purist, and we always say it's evidence plus patient's expectations, family expectations, and then it's also you take that and put yourself in the middle of the eMERGE, where it's, you know, where for those that do eMERGE, some days are beautiful and some days are like, oh, you're pulling your hair out, and it's like really, really challenging.
But I mean,
so
I think
while I wouldn't say not do it, I don't know if I would just say this is if they did get better. I don't know if I would say, hey, you know, it's because of the TSA. Maybe it's this in addition to all of the other great stuff that was done. Again, proper ATLS and proper tubes and blood, you know, blood pressure, all this kind of stuff. I don't know.
But I think, I mean, because if they, but with this other trial where they just looked at traumatic brain injury, I would have thought that, you know, you've got, if you have a person that comes in it that has just general trauma, then it would be a reasonable thing to do because we have this large randomized controlled trial to do that. And in fact, you know, a number of those people had, you know, coexisting head injuries anyway.
Yes.
In that original trial. And often you may or may not be able to tell whether they have necessarily a coexisting head injury.
Absolutely.
You know, so it seems to me that it's interesting that it, you know, they didn't see a difference in all-cause mortality with the traumatic brain injury specifically. But I think in just general adult trauma patients, it wouldn't, you know, I think it's a reasonable thing to say, you know, you're going to do something because, I mean, a 1.5% reduction in mortality given, you know, a couple of doses of something that you're giving over, you know, 12 hours. I mean, that's way above most of the things that we see, right, Mike? I mean, if you go to, you know, if you're looking at mortality, you're looking at, with statins, we always go to statins, you're looking at 5 years maybe if you're going to see a difference in mortality.
Yeah, for a similar reduction. And this is a single dose for a terrible event, right? So you're also not trying to prevent, you're trying to prevent something in a way, but this is something that's already happened and you're trying to minimize the damage from that thing. So it's the philosophical approach to it's less. I guess, you know, Mike, you made some good points about the subgroup analysis and correction for statistical significance. It would be, given the smallness of these numbers, it would be very likely that, you know, if you start to apply some of the criteria for multiple analysis, dropping p-values and such, the criteria for statistical significance, boy, oh boy, that would be hard to meet because the differences are small. So I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm just thinking, I bet you these authors thought about that. I bet you they looked at their data and thought, crap, let's just keep it at 0.05 and 95% confidence intervals because it's otherwise they wouldn't have, I doubt they'd find much.
Yeah. But I think when you look at the whole context, I mean, clearly, you know, as you said, with trauma, one of the main causes of death is really just bleeding. And so I think in that population, I think it's not an unreasonable thing to use because of the things that you've mentioned, Mike.
Absolutely. And so I think if we had a bottom line, I would say you bet. High quality ATLS. And I think having that for our all-cause trauma patients, absolutely. Isolated head injuries. So, and some of those, like you said, James, would have head injuries, and we may or may not know you're in a small eMERGE, you don't have a CT. Absolutely. Totally agree. On the flip side of that, an isolated head injury, you know, you're in a quaternary care center, you don't have any other injuries. I don't know if, you know, I'm not sure if I would be using it based on the available evidence I have right now.
Well, the nice thing, it's certainly not worsening all-cause mortality. And, you know, it's got to be very tough, right? Because how do you, it's hard to know whether you've got just an isolated head injury because you could easily have other injuries that you may not have picked up. Who knows? Internal.
Correct.
You know, so.
Correct.
I think
correct.
Just
the
a
good
general.
The news is it doesn't cost $1 million.
Yeah.
The good news is it's cheap. Like, you know, again, it's cheap like borscht. Again, cost should not drive. But again, James, you're right. If it increased mortality or had significant harms. And in that other study, again, adverse events, there was not a strong. There was not a difference in major vascular events, VTEs, and that kind of stuff. And so when we wrote this Tools for Practice with a previous student of mine, I'm getting old, who's a practicing eMERGE doc and been out for years now. I'm like, boy. And she said, you know what? I was just happy not to see the VTE and that kind of stuff and knowing it's safe and I can use it. And if it benefits, great. And I don't think I'm harming my patients by using it.
Yeah, no,
with
good.
The head injuries, for sure. Yeah.
And then
so they try to look at a couple other things.
Yeah, because it's used for other types of bleeding. And there was another tools of practice that was done on when you have a person who comes in with a, you know, relatively severe acute GI bleed, that this TXA is used as well.
Sure. And so, yeah, so TXA has been used in many different things. And so being used in GI bleeding, women, you know, men are aging, vaginal bleeds. We often use it post cesarean sections, you know, if they're bleeding and bleeding, bleeding. Anyways, so GI bleeding. So there was a great study, large study. Again, CRASH 2 and 3 won't be replicated. The trauma studies won't be replicated on this kind of scale. And the GI bleed study will not be replicated on this scale. So this was called the HALT IT trial. This was also published in Lancet. So interesting, all three of them were in Lancet. This was in 2020. This was a multi-country randomized control trial of 12,000 patients with signs of GI bleed with signs of instability, so signs of shock, likely required transfusion, endoscopy, or surgery. Most of these are upper GI bleeds. When you work in the eMERGE, you know, once in a while you get a lower GI bleed that you're a bit worried about, but most of these are upper GI bleeds. These patients, who the average age was about 60 years of age, about 64% were male, they were randomized to, again, 1 gram of TXA versus followed by a 3 gram infusion, so different in the trauma, which was 1 gram or 1 gram. And this was over 24 hours. And this was a placebo-controlled trial. And at 28 days, there was no difference between placebo or TXA in mortality, death from bleeding, transfusion, surgical interventions, ICU stays, and all those. Any way you slice it on the benefit, there was no difference in this. There was also no difference in the thromboembolic events. So again, another safety study that this medicine is not causing people to have excess VTEs. And so really, this is probably it. There was a systematic review done prior to this that had 1,700 patients. Again, this was 12,000. So again, when the systematic review comes out, this HALT IT trial will dominate. And really, the HALT IT is the answer for the GI bleeding. So again, for acute, unstable, and most of these are upper GI bleeding, adding TXA to your regular armamentarium of a proton pump inhibitor, you know, IV fluids, blood, and then endoscopy if needed, probably doesn't move the needle on any of those outcomes.
Yeah. Mike, this is your world. Yeah. This is you're the GI guy. So have you seen this? Like, do you see people still clinging to it as a potential solution? If so, like, what's their justification?
And you know what? I have not seen it. I think it's been in the trauma world quite a bit more than the GI world, and I don't see it used a lot in the GI world. We did get, one letter from a reader, from a TFP reader, and said, man, I've been using it, and I think it's working. And you know what? Again, evidence plus experience. Again, we're not going to get a 12,000 multi-center, multi-country study again. And I don't see it used routinely. I'll just leave it at that. I've never seen it used in an acutely unstable GI bleed. I'm not at the other end. I'm not at the quaternary care center with, if you're flying them out and it's Alaska. I don't know, but I've never seen it used.
But to have anyone say, you know, it seems to be working is because if it really is working, the percentage change would be so small. And how could you even pick up that it appears to be working? While I appreciate the comment, I don't think one can.
Yeah, but no. We all say stuff like that.
Oh, I know.
It's working. For those people who've ever taken an ibuprofen or acetaminophen for knee pain, headache, whatever, I bet you I know my family, I know I've said stuff like this, and we actually don't know.
No.
Almost no way you know.
Yeah, but it's even less with that, because, I mean, with ibuprofen, you might, you know, you can measure like something with pain, whereas here you're going, how could you assess all-cause mortality?
You can't. And even in the ones we saw where there was a 1.7% reduction, you know, in 98%, you're not making a difference, because they're either going to succeed or not succeed. And so you can't sort it out. But it's a common problem that we associate, right? We associate things as being related, and that's the whole association and causation thing. So causation's in an individual person's practice, it's very hard to prove causation.
Absolutely. Sure.
And I wonder if this is an exceptional clinician who does everything right, you know what I mean? And part of his everything right is the TXA. Again, how do you tease that piece out of, they're tuned properly, the fluids are properly, the blood is coming, you know, they're taking them seriously, meaning, you know, risk stratifying people about, oh, I'm worried about this one, less worried about this one, phoning the people, sending them right. You, do you know what I mean? It's a it's a piece of a whole gestalt. And we obviously didn't get into the level of a conversation about what else do you do that might be moving the needle. So
That's just it. Mike. You're totally right. Like he could be, you can imagine in your world, he or she could be like the perfect clinician hitting everything on the nose. 100%. And this is one thing they've added, and they have great outcomes, and they assume that this is the thing that, you know, is one of the things that's making a difference. Yeah. So it's all this stuff is so tricky.
So in our evidence hierarchy, obviously this would just be, a one individual's case series. And then again, you have to juxtapose that with, you know, 12,000 person really well done RCT.
Yeah. I think one of those wins.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. So it sounds like, so I guess if you have a person come in that's just got general adult trauma, then I think it sounds like a reasonable thing to use. If you absolutely know all they have is an isolated head injury, you probably shouldn't use it.
Or wouldn't be encouraged to
use it. Yeah, I mean, it's not going to hurt you any harm, but it's likely not going to do any benefit from overall
mortality. Well, that's a subpopulation that you're supposed to look at there, right?
The
ones with milder head injuries are the ones that potentially benefit. Mm-hmm. So you'll just have to be more nuanced than you are with the general.
And then for acute GI bleed, probably no effect at all on it.
That's actually gradation, right? It's one.
It is a gradation.
Is a yes. The head trauma is a yes for some and a no for others. Mm-hmm. And then the GI bleed is a no for everybody.
So
that's very interesting. Yeah. I would just say they showed in the head injury, they showed if you excluded the GCS of 3, so you got rid of the worst, showed a difference. And then if you excluded the middle guys, no difference. And then you looked at the best, there was a benefit. So again, benefit, no benefit, benefit again. Mm-hmm. It's really nuanced. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I did GCS, and James did a GCS. I wonder if we would get the same numbers.
No, we would. I can't.
I tell you right now, we wouldn't. No, that's okay. No, that's good. So yeah, interesting gradation, and I think that's a really great way of summarizing it. Adult trauma. You know, who knows what else they have? For sure. Again, within 3 hours.
Yeah.
Was the key for that one. Mm-hmm. Brain injury. You know, if it's an isolated brain injury. You know, again, it depends, but if you looked at it from 30,000 feet, probably not moving the needle, but the subgroups maybe moving the needle. And the GI bleed, boy, any way you tried to slice it, even units of blood, you know, that could no difference. So
that should have shown something too.
Yeah.
That's the one that you would have your best shot at because it's a
correct. It's a surrogate of a much harder. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So anything else, either of the mics want to add?
No, that was awesome work, Mike, covering both of them.
Yeah, for sure.
Thank you, guys.
No, and it's a niche market, if you will, but I think an important one because of the devastation of it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, for sure.
Maybe the only other thing I would mention is that pre-hospital TXA did not move general mortality, mortality in general trauma and in traumatic brain injuries, albeit these studies were only about 1,000 patients each. So quite a bit smaller, but again, didn't show a difference. So again, if it's great, you know, or good, great. If we might be using it in eMERGE, we sometimes wonder, maybe we should get them earlier.
Yeah, for
and
sure.
And this didn't show a difference. So you wonder if there might be other things at play. If you're not going to survive to eMERGE, maybe you're already you talk about the golden hour and maybe you're pre-chosen. Again, like Mike said, some of these things, despite our best interest, they don't do well. But maybe I would just have the caveat and say probably makes sense to keep it in your eMERGE with the nuance that if you're living in, say, the far north, northern territories, where your eMERGEs are Yellowknife and CHINs or community health nurses in the middle of nowhere, maybe that's a bit of nuance. But in suburban Alberta, I would say we're within an hour of most of our eMERGE centers, maybe pre-hospitals probably shouldn't be used of this medication.
Excellent. So I think we'll just leave it at that. So thank you so much for listening.
Talk to you later.
So long for now.